Chapter 11. Isaiah's Political Policy. A baby boy was born to Isaiah and his wife. It is always an interesting question what name should be given to a child. It was quite usual in those days to give children names that had some reference to the condition of the time. The prophet thought that his boy ought to have a name that would remind everybody of the serious state of the country. So he called him Shear Jashub, which means a remnant shall return. Isaiah's idea was that whenever the name was spoken, it would remind people that they were to be punished by being carried into captivity, but that a small number should be saved. About the time that this child had grown to be a lad, war broke out in the land. The two northern nations, Israel and Syria, made alliance against Judah. The invasion was very serious, and Judah was soon desolated by the allied armies. The people expected that God would surely be on their side because of the splendor of their temple services. Isaiah preached a sermon telling them that they had forgotten God. They were not as obedient as the beasts to their masters. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for Jehovah hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that deal corruptly, they have forsaken Jehovah. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They are estranged and gone backward. The prophet reminded them of the sad state of the nation. Jerusalem alone was safe, like the single hut in a field of vegetation. Why will ye be still stricken, that ye revolt more and more? The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and fresh stripes. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with oil. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except Jehovah of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Then he told them that God cared nothing for their sacrifices. The whole worship was mockery. Hear the word of Jehovah, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. What unto me is the multitude of your sacrifices, saith Jehovah. I've had enough of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand, to trample my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. New moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with iniquity and the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary of bearing them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Isaiah hoped that the people would be able to see that only by a moral reformation could they please God. He wanted righteousness and not ritual. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek justice. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith Jehovah. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of Jehovah hath spoken it. Ahaz, the king of Judah, paid no attention to this preaching of Isaiah. He was in great trouble about the invasion of his enemies and was casting about for a means of escape. He was a weak man of little ability, but he thought himself a great statesman. He conceived what he regarded as a great stroke of policy. He would send a valuable present to the king of Assyria, the most warlike nation of the time, and request him to come and help him against his enemies. Isaiah heard of this foolish policy. He knew that it meant that the king of Assyria would simply make Judah a vassal kingdom. He prayed the Lord to give him a message. He wanted to be able to tell Ahaz that the danger could be met in a better way than by appealing to Assyria. Soon he felt that he had the word that Jehovah would wish him to speak. He took his son with him, whose very name should be a warning, and went to meet the king. Isaiah found Ahaz inspecting the conduit through which water would be brought into the city in case of siege. He urged the king not to be afraid, but to understand that his two enemies were at the end of their power. He said, "Take heed and be quiet. Fear not. Neither let thy heart be faint because of these two tales of smoking firebrands." But the foolish king refused to listen and went on with his treaty with Assyria. Having failed to influence the king, the prophet turned to the people, but he determined to take unusual steps to attract their attention. Upon a board he wrote in large letters the word Maher Shalal Hashbaz, which is Hebrew for speed, spoil, haste, pray. He gave no explanation of it, but secured two faithful witnesses of the fact. Everyone that passed by could see this placard or poster. But just as in our day advertisements are often put up to attract attention, though their meaning is not at first clear, so Isaiah left the people to guess what this meant. Shortly afterward, another son was born to him, and the child was given this same name, Maher Shalal Hashbaz. Then the prophet explained that before the child should be old enough to say Papa or Mama, the spoil of Damascus and Samaria, the two enemies of whom Ahaz was so much afraid, would be carried away by the king of Assyria. In this manner, he tried to persuade the people that they should not be afraid, but should await the course of events. Ahaz, however, could not be persuaded, but completed his foolish policy of becoming a vassal to Assyria. Again, Isaiah sought divine guidance, and then went to the king and told him that a child should be born that year, and before the child would be old enough to know right from wrong, the two northern kingdoms would fall. But a bitter fate was in store for Judah. Isaiah said boldly to the king, "Jehovah will bring upon thee, and upon thy people, and upon thy father's house, days that have not come, from the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria." The king was startled by the striking words, and the prophet then told him in his wonderful poetic language that Judah should be a barren waste where hunting should take the place of farming. "And it shall come to pass in that day that every place where there were 1,000 vines and 1,000 silverlings should be for briars and thorns. With arrows and with bows shall one come thither, because all the land shall be briars and thorns. And all the hills that were digged with the mattock, thou shalt not come thither for briars and thorns, but it shall be for the sending forth of oxen and for the treading of sheep." Having failed with the king and also with the people, Isaiah turned to his disciples and bade them remember what he had said. "Bind thou up the testimony, and seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait for Jehovah that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom Jehovah hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from Jehovah of hosts who dwelleth in Mount Zion." Isaiah foresaw the bitter end of the wickedness and folly of the king and people. He saw that the powerful nations of Assyria would come and would rob the land of its wealth and take the people for slaves, and that a heavy tax would have to be paid every year. With the people and the government so weak, It was a sad outlook for a patriot. But Isaiah was a man of splendid faith. He was sure God had a great future for his people when everything should be peaceful and glorious under the rule of a righteous king. He wanted to encourage the people with this great hope of the future, so he preached to them his sermon on the Great Contrasts. First, he pictured the awful gloom that would be upon the northern land when foreign invasion laid it waste. Then he lifted his voice and cried, "But there shall be no gloom to her that is in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time shall he make it glorious by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness shall see a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." Next he showed his audience the contrast between the sorrow of the stricken land and the joy of the populous land of the future. "Thou shalt multiply the nation. Thou shalt increase their joy. They shall joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil." Isaiah longed for the blessed reign of peace. His nation was in the midst of war, but he was sure that war would be ended. "For all the armor of the armed man in the tumult, and the garments rolled in blood, shall be for burning, for fuel of fire." Then, reaching a grand climax, he showed the people the greatest contrast of all that should make possible the blessed future. It was a contrast in rulers. Ahaz was foolish. A judicious king was needed. Ahaz was a weakling. A mighty ruler must come. Ahaz was selfish. The king should be the father of his people. Ahaz was at war. The true ruler would bring peace. Of course, the prophet did not make this contrast openly, as it would have been both dangerous and discourteous, but he merely described the coming prince. "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from henceforth even forever. The zeal of Jehovah of hosts will perform this." It was a glorious outlook, but it was far in the future. Meantime, the king of Assyria came westward on a conquering march. He defeated Syria and Israel, which had been warring against Judah. Ahaz was thus relieved from his enemies, yet he was obliged to go to Damascus to do homage to the great king as a vassal. The nation lost its independence, and henceforth every year a large sum of money had to be paid to the Assyrian. Isaiah was sadly disappointed that he had not been able to prevent the mistake, but like a true patriot, he set himself to help the nation out of its misfortune.